And actually, a fellowship meal is something that was part of the old, the whole sacrificial system that God instituted at Mount Sinai through Moses. God gave the law, and there's a lot to it, but part of it was a fellowship sacrifice where the person bringing the offering had the opportunity, together with the priest, to have a fellowship meal there at the temple or at the tabernacle originally in God's presence. God is all about relationship. He had a very intimate relationship with man at the beginning. Man did not see fit to maintain that, but God has continued to pursue it throughout history, to bring it back to what it was in the beginning, to what He desires it to be. And the whole sacrificial system, including that fellowship meal, was actually pointing toward the one who would ultimately restore that fellowship to what it was intended to be. The whole sacrificial system, all the law and the prophets, pointed to Christ Jesus. And actually, the night before Christ made that sacrifice, fulfilling everything that was written about Him, everything that was foreshadowed in the sacrificial system and the Old Testament law, everything that was prophesied from Genesis through Malachi. The night before He gave that sacrifice, He brought together His disciples in a fellowship meal. It was a Passover meal. And Luke, in chapter 22, verses 15 through 16, tells us, "And He said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" God has a heart for His people, a heart for intimacy. And actually, this night before Christ suffered, they were close. They were together. And He communicated to them at a level which He had not done so previously. He says, "For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." You know, He was ultimately looking forward to the great banquet, the great fellowship meal, when the fullness of His kingdom would be established forever. This is known elsewhere in Scripture as the wedding supper of the Lamb, that we will not see until after the Lord returns. But Jesus called His disciples friends. In John 15:15, that night, after that meal, He says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." A servant is just told what to do. A friend is brought into confidence, and the heart is shared, the desires, the passions. There's an intimacy of relationship. Actually, just reflecting back to Abraham. God did that with Abraham. Before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he brought Abraham into his competence. He said, I'm not going to hide this from Abraham. I'm going to bring him into my competence and tell him what I'm about to do. And gave Abraham the opportunity to plead for whatever righteous may be living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus, after that meal with his disciples, he calls them friends and he prays for them. And not only for them, but ultimately for all believers. In John 17, verses 20 through 21, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The Lord not only desires an intimacy of relationship with himself, but also among his people, one to another. And in fact, that's the greatest evidence of who he is and what he's done. When the world sees his people loving one another, in spite of mistakes, in spite of things that might otherwise cause people to separate. I mean, if you look at the world around us, you see brokenness everywhere. Whether you're talking about two friends, whether you're talking about a husband and wife, family members, and it goes on up from there, all the way to nations. And you see brokenness everywhere. People not loving one another. It abounds. So the greatest evidence of the work of God is when, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of a corrupt generation, you see people loving one another regardless, unconditionally. And you see the initial fulfillment, the initial answer to the Lord's prayer in the early church. You look in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46. And actually, the New American Standard Bible reads that verse, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. There was a connection there, a deep and intimate connection among God's people because of what he had done for them. And they enjoyed one another in him, eating together. Actually, a lot of our fellowship time, you know, not only here at Shore, but I think in life in general, is over meals. You know, that's a universal phenomena. You look at any culture around the world and you will see fellowship over food. Just something that the Lord has established. The Lord created it that way. But sadly, sin, being as insidious as it is, finds a way at even affecting church fellowship.